No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the tamer.
Take me to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. We are your crew today for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Now, Ed is on hiatus, flying away from us. But I do got Keith. And so that's kind of, I mean, he's kind of a tall individual. He's like, you know, consider me Han Solo and Keith is a balding Chewbacca. How about that?
Okay. I'm not sure who Chewbacca is, but.
What? You know. What are you, living under a rock? Come on. I'm making all these Star Wars references. We got some Star Wars news to dive into today. On Just Plane Radio.
You know that I've never seen Star Wars, so.
This is just a parrot. I don't know what the heck is wrong with this guy. But he doesn't swim. He hasn't seen Star Wars. I truly believe Captain Keith may actually live under a rock when he's not flying in an airplane. But I don't know. We'll try to educate him and maybe share a few little tidbits with you and educate you on your Star Wars stuff, because there's some drone Star Wars stuff in the news that's quite intriguing to me. And maybe I'm just a geek and a dork in that sense, but I'm gonna suck you into this world here, Keith, whether you like it or not. Okay,
all right, let's go.
All right, but we'll get to that a little bit later on. First off, we got to talk about some plans, because next week Keith and I are going to head down to Sebring for the Light Sport Expo. And this will be we went down there a couple years ago. We didn't go to the last one, but was that your first time down to that event last time? Or you've been
down
there?
Yeah. It was. Okay. No, that was my first time, yeah.
And we had a great time down there. So
yeah, and looking forward to the next one.
Absolutely. Now, I actually was doing some planning, believe it or not, some show research. Hard to believe, huh? In between all my flight training, I was able to fit this in. So, okay, I had to get that little nugget in there for you, Keith.
Yeah, I see that, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you've been doing no planning?
Yeah. Well, no, I've been doing all planning and no flight training. But I'll get to the flight training, I promise. Okay, but regardless, I found out that, you know, when they're getting ready to release the statistics for 2015 on airplanes, single-engine airplanes, in the percentage of, like, certified planes like a Cessna 172 or a 182 or whatever, and, you know, like Cirrus planes and Moonies and Pipers and that kind of thing. Those make up, those certified airplanes make up about 80% of the U.S. market. And then light sport aircraft, which are kind of like unregulated kit planes, I guess, right? Is that kind of where it kind of goes in there? Is it like 20%? But do I get that description right when I describe a light sport aircraft or not?
Well, not necessarily kit planes, because, you know, the Skycatcher is a it's made by Cessna, and
they're
a large manufacturer,
well,
so they
true.
Can manufacture a light sport aircraft as well. So
okay,
it can
so
be mass produced.
Light sport aircraft have a weight restriction and what?
Two seats max. And two seats max.
Okay,
and they've got a speed max as well, which I believe is 118 knots.
Okay. All right. So that
don't
makes
quote
up,
me on that one, though.
All right. We'll say about that. So, you know, there's only so much you can do. They're great for flying around, great for flight training, slow flight, low flight, that kind of thing. Fun type of airplane. Like a hobbyist airplane. Is that fair?
Sure. Kinda? That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
And, you know, and it's a growing market. It's much less regulated. You don't even need a third class medical to do those. That was the thing we were trying to get for everybody, but didn't quite get there yet. But we're getting that restriction loosened up here a little bit in the coming months. However, light sport aircraft has that, but it only makes up 20% of the U.S. market. But outside of the U.S. market, according to the story I read, it's flip-flopped. 80% of those light sport aircraft are being used outside the U.S., and only 20% are like the Pipers, Moonies, you know, and Cessnas and other things like that. So I don't know. What's going on with that? Is that news to you, by the way, or what?
No, not at all, because there's a lot of countries outside of the U.S. that private pilots are not allowed to fly, or it's extremely expensive for them to fly, which is why the U.S. does a lot of foreign pilot training here,
right?
Because it's so much cheaper to fly. Fuel prices are cheaper, and there's no fee for approaches here. And no fee for landings, which is what AOPA, you know, we've had Tom Haines on here a number of times talking about the user fees.
Correct.
And that is what drives up the cost of aviation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're pushing so hard to stay away from that. And so, yes, they still have the user fees. So every time you do an approach and every time you do a landing, you have to pay for them. But the fuel costs and stuff are a lot less. And since it's a light sport airplane, it's not a mass-produced Part 23 certificated aircraft, they're not as regulated in the foreign countries as they are here.
All right. So it just comes down to cost, you think? Because
they're less
to operate. They cost less.
10 gallons an hour versus 4 gallons an hour.
Well, they're okay. That makes sense. So, you know, that's what's happening outside the U.S. And it'll be interesting to see what, you know, knowing that going into the Sebring Light Sport Expo, if we're going to see a lot of, you know, out of the country manufacturers or people that flew in from outside the country for this event, because this is a pretty big deal.
I mean, it is, yeah.
You know, they do get people from all over, but I didn't realize it was that big outside the U.S. market. So it'll be interesting to, I don't know, look for that international flair. Did you notice that a couple of years ago when we were there? I didn't really, it didn't jump out at me.
Well, it doesn't really jump out at you, but, you know, if you do pay attention, there are an awful lot of foreigners there. But, you know, I even knew a couple of people there that were there from other countries. So,
yeah. Well, what are you looking for this time around? Do you have an agenda, or you just want to go, you know, look at all the cool innovations and things? Because that is where some of this stuff comes from. We get a lot of cutting edge. I brought up the kid airplanes. Which, you know, doesn't necessarily mean that that's light sport, but they kind of come out of that same vein, don't they? Where, you know, they're looking for a cheaper alternative or maybe newer technology that isn't quite certified in the main, you know, manufacturing, you know, channels just yet. And you get more like cutting edge type of technology in your airplane for a much lower cost because you don't have all those certifying, you know, hurdles you got to jump through initially, right?
Well, the light sport is a little bit different in that they're built under different regulations, which is why you can only change parts from the manufacturer. You cannot get any aftermarket parts and put them on a light sport airplane. On a home-built airplane or a kit airplane, you know, you can put whatever you want on there. So there is a little bit of crossover there. But, you know, our buddy Jim is building a, you know, his own airplane.
Right.
And so he's got options. He can go anywhere and get, you know, whatever avionics package that he wants or whatever the case may be. Whereas on a light sport, you can't do that. You cannot change the avionics package that comes in there.
Okay. So you have to go to a light sport aviation manufacturer.
Right.
Like
for instance, our sky catchers that we have at the flight school. You know, we have this regulation coming down that you have to have the ADS-B in there. I forget what the date is, 2020 or whatever.
Right.
Cessna hasn't done anything to manufacture that. If they don't manufacture something to put in those sky catchers, those airplanes will not be able to be used after 2020.
That's not
because
good.
Because you can't go somewhere else and do that.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
So that's the big difference there.
Well, the FAA is jumping in to help out with that. They just...
Oh, yeah. They want to help out.
Well, no, there's like $500 million they've earmarked that the FAA is going to open up for loans to get ADS-B for your airplane in time for 2020. Do you not hear about this?
Well, yeah, but you know they're not going to help and say, okay, Cessna's not going to manufacture this, so your airplanes, you can now go out and get somebody, you know, an ADS-B unit from somebody else. I doubt they're going to do that.
Oh, well,
that's where the real help needs to come in, too.
Ah, well, so you're saying wait a minute. I've read all about this. You can get ADS-B third party and put it in your Cessna Skycatcher, can't you?
No, you can't.
You can't do that.
Because it's a light sport, it has to come from the manufacturer.
If
you want to do it in your 172 or you want to do it in your home built, you can do that, but not in a light sport.
Well, that's kind of screwed up, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So they got now until 2020 to figure out how to make that work. Yes. So they'll come up with some solution, surely. They have to. They're not going to allow them not to be able to fly, do you think? Or do you think they'll care?
It is our government.
Okay.
Do you really want me to go there?
Well, true. Actually, I do. That usually makes for a very compelling radio when Keith gets up on the soapbox and the veins start popping. It's just one of those things I kind of enjoy. So maybe we can push a button or two, and you sound too jovial right now. You know what I'm saying there, Keith?
Yes, I hear you.
We need to get your blood pumping here for the new year. You know what I mean? Come on. Let's come up with some governmental thing and get your comments on the State of the Union or something.
I got something a little bit later in the show. We'll talk about it.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
The possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Keith, who has never in his entire life seen a Star Wars movie. He's heard the music. You recognize the music, right, Keith?
I do recognize the music.
Okay.
Yes.
At least we got that much for him. All right. So Star Wars, obviously breaking all kinds of records. Most popular movie of all time. You know, it's crazy how much money this movie's raking in. And it still has more money to acquire. Keith, in particular, you know, he has not. You have not bought a ticket to see this movie yet. I have not. You know, and I've brought this up before. You know, Ed is like a Star Wars maniac. Now, I consider myself a fan, but I'm not like I know everything about Star Wars, you know, Trekkie or anything like that. I love it. I really enjoyed the new movie. But, you know, Ed like loves this stuff. He's really into it big time. And one of the things I brought up when it first was released during the holidays was, hey, could this inspire a new generation of potential pilots? Because, you know, there's a lot, they're flying these X-Wing, you know, planes around, and, you know, it's not all accurate. It doesn't quite make all the sense in the world from a aviation standpoint. However, there's enough of it in there where, you know, something, you know, some kid watching it may go, hey, I want to fly a plane when I grow up, and by the time I do, you know, it'll be, you know, I'll have my own drone with me, or robot, or, you know, B-88 or whatever the hell it is.
So, and how does that compare with Top Gun?
Well, it's, you know, Top Gun's like real airplanes. Star Wars is, you know, flying spaceships and things. It kind of looks somewhat like an airplane. Has the same aerodynamics. And we were talking about this last week, that there's some scenes in the movie where there's wings when they're flying through space. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, there's zero gravity. They don't need wings.
They don't need wings.
But they still have them flying around in space and folding their wings out so that they can fly faster, which, you know, once again, I don't believe that is the case necessarily. However, you know, what do I know? I mean, it's the future. Anything could happen.
Well, the last movie that sparked, if you will, an aviation where people really wanted to fly was Top Gun.
It was. There was some proof to this. You actually saw some data, or just is this?
Yeah, there's been some data put out that, you know, after that movie, that a lot of people wanted to learn to fly, and a lot of people, you know, obviously still talk about that movie.
Yeah,
and
well,
so
supposedly Top Gun 2 is in development or something. Tom Cruise is working on something like that. So I mean, who knows? But Star Wars, I think, could inspire people too. I mean, the drone thing, and
well, it can't inspire me.
It won't inspire you. Well, come on, you're gonna surely
because I haven't seen it.
You're gonna break down eventually and see this movie.
I haven't seen the first one.
Well, you've seen clips of it, haven't you, on TV, or do you not watch any TV at all?
Well, the only clips that I've ever seen are, yeah, you know, like small clips that somebody says, well, here, this is from Star Wars, or this is that, you know, but, you know, I don't know who the characters are or anything like that in the movie.
Yeah. Well, Chewbacca is that big hairy ape guy, kind of like, you know, kind of like you without hair.
Oh, okay. Well, not that you put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, just I'm trying to give people, you know, a picture of what Captain Keith kind of, you know, the vibe he puts off. He's kind of tall and lanky and, you know.
Good thing this is radio.
Maybe. I didn't say you smelled like Chewbacca. Not that I know how, you know, Chewbacca smells, but I'm just saying. But anyway, okay, I digress.
I hope it does, because we really need people to start flying.
Yeah. Well, the drone thing, one of the arguments for people that are proponents of drones and these quadcopters are that it could inspire a new generation to want to learn to be a real pilot. They'll, you know, their thumbs only can go so far, their video games only can do so much, you know, but is this a conduit to becoming a private pilot or inspiring them to, you know, follow that path on their life to get into aviation? And I don't know, you know, but the drones aren't going away. And, you know, they're developing not only the toy drones that I mentioned during Christmas for the Millennium Falcon and the X-Wing Fighter. There's a whole line of hobbyists that are putting these things out now as well. I just saw a new one on YouTube this week of someone who's created a X-Wing Fighter from Star Wars. And this thing looks like literally that it's from the movie. And but basically all he did, he put a quadcopter on the bottom of a X-Wing model that's really elaborate and very cool, but it floats around like a quadcopter and flies around like a quadcopter, so it's very maneuverable, I guess, just like it would be in the movie. So it's kind of creepy and interesting at the same time, I guess. But I'm totally losing you because you don't even know what an X-Wing fighter is. Am I right, Keith?
That is correct.
Okay. Well,
I don't have a clue.
All right. Well, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, it's a good movie, so go see it. And maybe it'll inspire some folks to learn to fly, or maybe they'll have to wait till Top Gun. Who knows? But there's another thing. You know, CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, was in Vegas last week or the week before, I believe. And they actually released or put on display the world's first passenger drone. Some company, I think, evidently backed by China, of course. But it's basically a big quadcopter with a seat in it. It looks like kind of a, you know, a cross between a quadcopter, a big quadcopter, and a helicopter. So it has like a helicopter bubble on it, but then the wings are below it. So you kind of sit on that, sit on top of a big quadcopter. Does that sound appealing to you? That can be fun, huh?
Well, yeah, until those rotors start going nuts or something.
What do you mean?
Well, you're sitting on top of it.
Well, they're off to the side. You're in the middle, you know, just like you're like above the motor, you know, how those quadcopters look, and you're just sitting there. So if it were to mess up, you'd probably just fall through the middle of them. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? But you ever see the blades of a helicopter come off and what it does?
Well, these are smaller, and they're replaceable.
Yeah.
Like you get them at a little hobby store.
After they go through you.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know if they've thought. You know, it's China. So, you know, they'll just make a bunch of extra things.
Well, they've got a lot of extra people there. That
well, true. Yeah. They've worked through the R&D, I'm sure. But, yes. But yeah, it looks kind of cool. But, you know, they got the problem. Now they're going to have to register their drone with the FAA. So that could hold them up. Who knows? Yeah. And did you see this? We mentioned this on the air last week. The new registration for the drones, which I guess the deadline's like the middle of February that you have to have your new purchased drone registered with the FAA.
Yes.
They've been sued by a hobbyist who says, no, that's unconstitutional. You can't make us register these drones and charge us $5 if we don't. And so now it looks like it's going to be settled in court whether or not the government can get your name if you're operating the drone.
It's just another way Big Brother's going to look down on you.
The U.S. government will probably be China's first customers for these new drones. You think, Keith?
I think so, and I know just who to put in that middle seat.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith and Flight Training Professionals. All right, so, you know, whether it's drones, whether it's quadcopters, Star Wars, we got it all this week. But we actually got some real usable information for someone like me who's been holding out to get his third-class medical, and that would be what, Keith?
Well, we got a new rule today.
A new rule.
A new rule.
Yeah.
Student pilots no longer get their pilot certificate from their student pilot certificate from an aviation medical examiner. You know, when you get yours, you go to the aviation medical examiner, you get your physical done, and he hands you a student pilot certificate, right?
Yeah. Or medical certificate, right?
Your medical certificate, mm-hmm. which is also your student pilot certificate, which is what needs to be signed and so forth for
I knew that.
You know, your solo and stuff like that.
I'm just testing you. Yeah.
So instead now, the person can either go to the local FISDO, or you can do it through a designated pilot examiner, a 141 flight school, or a CFI. There's going to be an application that you have to fill out, and it gets turned into the TSA, and the TSA is going to vet that application, and then they will give them a plastic card. You know what the pilot certificate looks like?
Yeah.
It will basically, it's going to be one like that, and it's going to say student pilot certificate on there.
Okay,
so
is this a good thing or a bad thing? Because that just sounded like several more hoops you got to jump through to get this thing.
Well, you know, they're going to attempt to try and get this done so that they can vet the applicant out after 3 weeks is what they're going to try and do. Now, here's the deal. If you are an alien student, in other words, you're not a U.S. national, you have to be enrolled into the Alien Flight School program, which TSA vets you out in that. It's another step that they have to jump through, and you have to get it done right away or you're not going to be able to solo. instead of taking away the third-class medical, which you still have to go to a medical examiner to get, they just made it more difficult for a new student.
Well, that's what the government does when you want them to make it easier. They make it
more difficult.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Colonel, with all due respect, that new jet is a death trap.
It's the 1950s. Everything's a death trap. Now have three martinis, a pack of smokes, and get in that plane.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith and Flight Training Professionals. You want to have Keith as your flight instructor? Go to ftpros.com and look for all the information right there, and they'll hook you up. All right. So, Keith, I'm totally confused now. So, because, you know,
what else is new?
Yeah, well, true. I'm trying to get back into my flight training, and one of the things I have to do, first of all, I got to get my eyes checked from my optometrist. I'm getting that set up here in the next week or two. And then I got to get my third-class medical squared away. But you're saying they've changed the pilot certificate process, and this applies only to aliens that are in spaceships, like from the Simpsons TV show. What?
Well, you know, I would like it to be that way, yeah. But it's not. It is for every single person who wants to learn how to fly to become a student pilot. This is what you have to go through now. So, before,
I had to pay $150 to this flight examiner and have him, you know, take a little rubber mallet, whack my knee, and say, "Okay, here," you know, after I gave him the $150, and we're good to go.
Right.
You're saying now they're eliminating that because I can go to my primary care physician, right?
Nope.
I still got to do that.
You still have to go get the medical from the airman medical examiner.
Okay.
Or the aviation medical examiner. But this is another process that you have to go through, and it really is kind of like a profiling. Their government is going to profile you now.
What?
Because you want to be a pilot. And so you have to be vetted by the TSA in order for you to get a student pilot certificate. You don't have to do that to get a driver's license.
Yeah.
You know, but you do have to do this now if you want to learn how to fly an airplane.
No way. So the TSA is involved. This is a new thing?
This is a new thing, yes.
So
now, like I was saying on the last segment of the show, you know, if you're in the Alien Flight School program, it's been there since September 11.
Okay.
It's a program that...
But now they've opened it up to everybody, and they're going
to
treat us all equally and give us cavity searches if we so, I don't know, ask for it. Some people might.
Some people might ask for it, but, you know, I guess...
But they're claiming... Their thing is that, okay, we're not going to racially profile anymore because we're going to make everybody do this nonsense.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, brother. So we have to fill out a form and submit it through your flight? Not the flight school or...
Well, it could be either the flight standards district office, where, you know, wherever you live.
Yeah.
If there's one close. Or you can go to a designated pilot examiner who you would take your check ride with.
Okay.
Or if the flight school you're going to is a 141 school, which is just the regulations which they train under. It's either 61 or 141 or 142, and your local CFI will be able to do this as well. So they fill out the application with you, and then that gets to the TSA, and they get it vetted.
Yeah. All right, so they're
hoping to have this process down, that they'll have the approval to solo train back within 3 weeks.
Within three, okay. So you mean you have to have this done before you even start your training, or
they're not going to let you solo the airplane until you have this vetting done by the TSA.
All right,
if somebody wants to move through their program pretty rapidly, you know, we're ready to solo long before 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And you look at the AOPA program that they did last year, where they got somebody to solo in 1 week's time.
Right.
It kicks that program right out the window because they won't have their response back from TSA within 1 week.
Well, that kind of blows.
So, you know, here again we have the government hurting an industry. Aviation is being hurt in all kinds of different ways, and this is just another one. We really need to get pilots into aviation, and this is just another way that it's like, why do I want to go through that? You know?
Yeah.
Why do I want the government to know that I bought a drone? Why do I have to register it? Well, why do I have to do this? You know, it's Big Brother all over the place.
Yeah, well, that's just goofy. Yeah, but are you saying, though, this new rule, is it already in effect?
It takes effect April 1st.
April 1st. So, golly.
If you want to learn to fly without being vetted by the TSA, you got to do it before April 1st.
Well, or I have to wait 3 weeks. You're saying you got to put in the paperwork and you can't solo. I can't even do my fly around solo, my go arounds and practice landings until I get this certificate, even in my flight training.
Yes.
Well, that is crazy. So where is the revolt? Are aviators up in arms? I mean, this is news to me. I didn't hear about this.
Well, it just came out today, so I haven't heard any revolts yet.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that there's going to be, and you know, I think it's something that we need to talk with AOPA on. Let's get, you know, we have to get a hold of Tom Haines and see what he's heard on this as well.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen it pop up on their TV show yet, but I'm sure this will be something if it's as bad as you say. I mean, because it would delay everybody's flight training.
Absolutely. Sure.
I mean, that's just crazy. And it's like, once again, trying to solve a problem that doesn't exist out of maybe the sense of trying to be politically correct, maybe. I don't know. I mean, if it was if they were doing this after you did your check ride and you're waiting to get your final, you know, like we go up with Diego and I get my private pilot certificate. He signs off. Yes, he's good to go. And then I got to wait 3 weeks for TSA to vet me or whatever before I can go fly my plane or fly whatever I want. Maybe that would make sense. But during the flight training, why? What's the point?
Well, you know, the Alien Flight School program, and, you know, I have to do this at the airline as well. Anybody who comes in for either initial, for recurrent, or for upgrade, you know, they have to, each time they go in, they have to put an application in and be re-vetted by TSA. Mm. Now, these are people that are here from other countries and working here in the U.S.
Right.
So they're not U.S. born. And we are now doing this vetting now with people that are born and raised here in the U.S.
Mm. It just seems like a lot more work that they don't really need, or you know, they're saying, well, it's homegrown terrorism that we're trying to.
So they're going to profile against pilots. What about all the people that are driving cars?
They are driving cars. Well, true. Well, you know, they can get control of your car. You know, you've seen that where they can tap into your Wi-Fi on your entertainment system of your car and take control of it.
Well, I don't have one of those in mine, so they can't get control of my car.
Well, that's true. You're old school. Yeah,
I'm old school.
He doesn't even watch movies, let alone drive a car. What do you have, a jalopy? What is this?
What's a
Model
a movie?
T? Yeah. Well, you know, maybe technology will have to catch up. Instead of all this crap that they're doing, you know, here's where Star Wars kind of comes into this conversation as well. You know, they've already kind of come up with some jamming signals where they can block drones from certain areas. And like in Star Wars, if you'd watch the movie, you know there's this thing called the tractor beam, where nearby spaceships, when they're getting too close to the mothership or the Death Star, you know, Darth Vader locks onto the ship and takes control of it and pulls it into their you know, system and takes control of the plane or, you know, the spaceship. They can do the same thing with your airplane. That's what they have to do. It just come up with that technology. Is like, okay, if someone's flying someplace where we don't want them, Get them on the tractor beam. And then they take the controls away from the pilot and can, you know, fly it where they so choose.
Yeah, no, I don't like that idea
either. You don't like that? That wouldn't that be better, though?
Because that's it's too opinionated. I mean, who's going to say, you know, it's whose opinion as to whether or not you're flying too close or doing something wrong that they don't like, and they're going to take the controls? Nah, that's you can't do that either.
You don't like the tractor beam idea?
No.
What if
I think they just need to profile. Stop all this political correctness and profile. You know, if you're doing something wrong, there's a reason why you're doing something wrong, and so you need to be profiled. You know, why do you have to profile? There's profiling going on in this country. Everybody's being profiled, whether they call it that or not. And that's exactly what this is. This is profiling. Everybody who's going to become a pilot now is going to be profiled. You're going to be vetted by the TSA so that they're going to know exactly what you're doing now. Before, they didn't know you were going to be a pilot.
A Chewbacca-looking balding guy walk up for his certificate. Cavity search right here. And then you'll be good to go, Keith.
They don't want to do a cavity search on me.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Are sharks keeping you out of the water? Well, I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll explain why you have way more to fear on land next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Thanks to Hollywood, sharks are easily the most feared creatures in the sea. The truth is, you have a much better chance of being struck by lightning or winning the lottery than being bit by a shark. Way more people die from car accidents, bee stings, falling coconuts, and even champagne corks than shark attack. So yeah, with proper perspective and a little common sense, you might be safer in the water than on land. Dive into DAN.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Flying away, is that a bad thing?
Only if you're a human being. Fly away, dance all night, sing all day. I've
grown these wings so I can fly away. This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, and Captain Keith, we're your crew as we're navigating the latest aviation news and information. All right, so I don't know, Keith. I think a lot of these issues you're bringing up, whether it's Big Brother or not, technology might be able to help alleviate some of these problems. You think? Or do you feel that's just Orwellian or something? I don't know.
I'm not a real big fan of the new technology because it's too easy.
You have an iPhone. Come on.
Yeah, and you know what? There's a lot of things on there that I don't use. I've got it turned off. You know,
yeah.
when they start following you and telling you what time you're going to arrive at work and things like that, that's just a little bit too much for me.
It's a little creepy is what you're saying, huh?
Exactly.
Well, so does that mean you're not going to download the Before You Fly app for drone users? Because
probably not.
The FAA has a new app out on the iPhone that you can download from the App Store. And it's supposedly going to come out for Google Play, too, or maybe it's already out. But it's before you fly, B, the letter or B, and then the number 4, and then the letter U, and then F-L-Y, fly. You can find it, but it's from the FAA, and it basically, I don't know if it takes control of your drone if you fly into restrictive areas, or it just, you know, says, hey, I'm here, you know, what's the airspace restrictions, and that kind of thing, and if there's any NOTAMs in the area about flying a drone, or the president's nearby, your phone's going to start beeping at you. Or maybe it could just take control of your drone. That's what it should do. It should be like that Star Wars technology, like I told you, these tractor beams that Darth Vader would incorporate and just take control of your spaceship. They should be able to incorporate this into your iPhone. It can do everything else. And maybe these type of things will solve those conflicts that are obviously...
But then somebody else is watching absolutely everything that you do.
Well, it's...
So where's the freedom in that?
Well, okay. So you're just afraid that... So what if someone knows? Is that okay? You don't want them to know where you're flying your drone,
or where does it stop?
Where does it end? It's a slippery slope. One of those arguments is what you're saying.
Exactly.
I don't know, but you know, if you had a tractor beam, I still think the tractor beam thing could work. At least keep the.
But
drones.
Somebody has to control that tractor beam, and it ain't going to be you.
Why
it's
not?
It's going to be the feds.
Well,
because they want control. They want the ultimate control, right?
Yeah. And you just don't like that idea, huh?
I don't like that idea.
Well, no. What if you were, if you were going to fly to work in, you know, your human-sized drone from China, you would want the government to have control over that vehicle for you because this is an autonomous vehicle. You just get in it and it flies you to where you want to go. You don't even man the controls. They control it for you. Like, hey... you just put in an app like Uber, you know, it's like my drone app, and it's like, okay, I got to be at work here in 5 minutes, get me there, and you press go, and then the drone takes off and takes you there. And the government would have to control that, wouldn't they? And you don't trust
why?
That?
Why can't the private sector control that?
Well, okay.
Instead of the government.
Maybe there could be a division. Yeah, okay. It could be a private organization, but you feel safer having a private organization handle that as opposed to...
Have you ever known a government organization that has ever been started that has completed its task on time, within budget, and is doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing?
Let me think on that.
Yeah, how much time do you need?
Yeah, probably a few years. About as much time as I've dedicated my flight training. That's been how many years now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The government can't do it. You know, I mean, you look at all the people that work for the government. They're lazy. They know that they don't have to do anything.
Oh, my God.
They're not self-starters.
All right.
You know, if
there's any government workers listening right now, send your hate emails to keith@justplaneradio.com. They're people too. Don't be a hater.
Well, I mean, not being a hater.
If you work for the government, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. I mean, yeah, they're not. I don't think that all the people.
I'm not saying that they're bad people. But if you go to places like the DMV, they move at a snail's pace.
Yeah.
There's no reason for them to hurry. There's no reason for them to service you. It doesn't matter the fact that they. Their salary is paid by you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're there to service, and they don't have that attitude at all whatsoever.
Well,
that's what I'm referring to.
Well, the incentive maybe is not, you know, as strong as it is in the private sector. Granted, but there's good people that work for the government, and some
right,
of them don't
are.
Let that
and
get
I
in
know
the way
a number
of providing
of
good service. So I just want to do that before the hate mail start coming. Because, yes. You know, government employees are people too, Keith. I mean, come on. Let's not hate all folks. You know, we can't hate them all. We just
not all.
We just
not
hate
all.
We hate the structure. You hate the idea of it. You think it's a bad.
You know, I got a good friend of mine who joined the FAA.
Yeah.
And you know, very shortly after he joined the FAA, he was sitting at his desk one night,
mm-hmm.
and he's working, and you know, he's doing the right thing, right? and walking out of the office. Like, what are you doing? Let's go. Shut your computer down. He's like, I got to finish this. Oh, no, no, no. You deal with that tomorrow. It's quitting time. You just go. You don't ever work this. You know, that's the mentality.
So you're saying working,
but that's not him as a person,
right?
You know?
Yeah,
you know he starts a task, he's going to finish it, and he's he's a great guy. We got it. You and I together have a good friend of ours who left the government because of this, and you know we're not.
I don't know. It sounds
names.
Like a pretty cake job to me. Sounds like the job everybody wants to get.
Well, that's why they're all getting them.
No responsibility. You know? They pay you on time. Good benefits. You know, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, everybody's looking for a handout instead of getting it the old-fashioned way.
Okay. Okay. I guess we see what side of the political spectrum Captain Keith resides. And that's fine. Yeah, we're all people. We're all trying to get along. And one of these days we'll figure out the way to make it work. And on that love fest note, we'll leave it. How about that, Keith? Remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plain Radio is brought to you by JustPlainRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plain Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
They're just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlainRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plain Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plain Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlainRadio.com.